All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
All right, everybody, welcome to American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. Let's get straight into the news today. For one thing, it's Friday, June 17, 2022. This is episode 141. And I just want to talk about the stuff that's in the headlines. It's not like there's not enough to talk about. But the stuff we are going to talk about is going to be very serious. And it's going to impact us all very soon. So let's, like I said, get right into it. This is coming from the truthaboutguns.com. Breaking: Biden administration moves to cut off Lake City 223-556 ammo from the commercial market. It's an article wrote by Dan Zimmerman. So the article says, apparently not content with its efforts so far to make gun ownership more difficult and expensive for America's 100 million firearm owners, a source tells TTAG that the Biden administration is taking steps to reduce the availability of 223 and 556 ammunition available to the average shooter. Here's a tweet from Larry Keen. Breaking news: the U.S. military is actively considering shutting down the sale of M855 and SS-109 ammo from the Lake City to the commercial department. Now, Lake City is where the Department of Defense actually produces, through Winchester, all the 5.56, 223 ammo. And it is not government-owned, but the land on it is government-owned. So, can they actually tell them to stop manufacturing it? No. I was watching one guy that's on YouTube that I occasionally watch for anything gun news related, and he actually called the base that was near here. He spoke to a U.S. Army representative, and she told him that as far as she is aware, they're not shutting it down, so the news could be erroneous. However, it's not. I promise you it's not. Joe Biden will come after the ammo. Years ago, me and some of my buddies were sitting around at, I don't remember which operation, something probably to do with, you know, violence and rioting. That's all I did for almost 4 years, my last 4 years at DHS. And we were talking about this because the Democrats were putting out House bill after House bill of trying to ban anything that involved guns. And we remember reviewing part of it where they wanted to ban certain kinds of ammunition. Now, I think this is HR 1296, if I'm correct. I think that was made in like 2018, 2019. And in that House bill, they wanted to ban all large caliber ammunition. And, you know, what does large caliber mean? Does that mean anything that's above a 22 long rifle? I don't know. But we know that Joe Biden wants to ban 9mm. So I can only guess anything above 9mm is on the list. Let's say it like this. Anything that would be effective for the American patriot to repel and to defend itself against a unconstitutional, tyrannical government. That's the ammunition and the weapons they want to get rid of. How quaint. All right, well, let's continue with the article. A person with the knowledge of the situation tells us that more than just considering the move, Winchester, which operates the U.S. Army's Lake City ammunition plant, has been informed that it may no longer sell M855 and SS-109 ammunition produced in excess of the military's needs on the civilian market. How would that affect the civilian supply of 223 and 556 ammunition? We understand that as much as 30% of the commercial's market sales volume of 223 and 556 is produced by Lake City. The motivation here is obvious. The Biden administration is attempting to further spike the price of ammunition, squeezing the owners of America's favorite rifles, the scary black ones that the president assures us are only good for killing people and taking down Kevlar vest-wearing deer. Let's face it, even the hapless Biden administration must realize that they don't have any realistic prospect of getting another assault weapons ban through the Senate. So instead, they're doing the next best thing. They're trying to make shooting most AR-15 rifles as expensive as possible for Americans who own between 20 and 25 million AR platform guns. We've reached out to Winchester for a statement on the Biden administration's move, but haven't received a response yet. We'll update this post when we do. I hope so. I really hope they, the DOD reaches out to these guys and informs them. Look, they're absolutely right. Their article is absolutely right. The Biden administration is coming for the guns that are semi-automatic. I reviewed at least two or three of these supposed House bills through the years. And the one that they keep repeating is the one that they really like. They really got it narrowed down. And if I'm correct, the last time they put out this bill, at least 19 Republicans were on it. I may be wrong with that, but I believe it was close to that. All right, because it shocked a lot of us, you know, that were working for the feds at the time. So, what did they want banned? They wanted semi-automatic weapons bans. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, large caliber rifles. And we're talking about the 338 Lapua Magnums. We're talking about the 50 cals. They also wanted to, I believe, ban night vision. They wanted to make it illegal for you to put any type of accessories on your rifle. So that's flashlights, hand stops, different type of butt stocks. Obviously, Donald Trump already helped with getting rid of bump stocks. And I don't care about bump stocks. I thought it was a crappy it was a crappy attachment for a rifle. It's fun. I've shot them before. But I would not use it, especially not for home defense, which is, you know, we got to understand something, guys. We're talking about our defense. Our defense. We, the people's defense. Joe Biden is surrounded by an army of law enforcement officers or a legitimate military at any point in time. You are not. So, for this prince of all eggheads to sit up there and say that we don't need guns because there's a couple of mass shootings or there's a lot of, you know, I guess you could say crime that's happening that's using guns, that's still really stretching, breaking or violating the constitutional rights, your Bill of Rights. And once again, Joe Biden is the same guy who will tell you repeatedly that the Second Amendment was never meant to allow us to have the weapons that we have now, which he would say are weapons of war, even though historically, the Second Amendment allowed you to own cannons and privateers, which is your own shipping vessel, with cannons emplaced on them. A couple of presidents actually even gave people the right to use that to help repel, I believe it was the British at that point in time in New Orleans. So, Joe Biden is going to do his best to get scholars and historians and people who want to eschew the truth of history, and they're going to give a legal fight on their side, and I promise you it's going to be off the back of more tragedy. And what comes eventually from this? Eventually, they're going to do their best to either have you turn in all your firearms through some implementation of a government buyback. And they'll probably give you tax credit, or they'll give you grocery credit, or they'll give you, they'll give you gas credit, because gas will soon be so expensive, you're going to have to decide on whether you fill up the gas tank or go to work, or whether you fill up the gas tank or go grocery shopping. Don't worry, Joe Biden will never have to go through that. Please, ladies and gentlemen, do not worry about the president. He will be just fine. He doesn't have to pay for his own food. He doesn't have to pay for his own bed and board. He's not going to have to pay for his security that we all need. He's not going to have to pay for the high prices of gas, because they'll get it for free. Everybody calm down. Joe Biden will be perfectly fine. You, on the other hand, are going to be screwed. That's because we're not part of the club, as old George Carlin would say, huh? There's a big club, and you and I ain't in it. And by the way, it's the same club that they like to beat you over the head with. Well, it's very true. It's very true. That's one of the reasons why I did like Donald Trump so much. Donald Trump was very much a part of that club, that elitism club. But Donald Trump could break down and become just a normal, silly person. Just like any one of us. It could relate to people. And that's why people love Donald Trump, because the man was relatable. He was actually likable. I didn't trust everything the man said. That's mainly because I don't trust politicians. However, I felt a sense, a genuine sense, that the man wanted to do good. Does anybody get that from Biden? Anybody? Mueller? I don't think Joe Biden has one good intent for this country. I think he has a lot of good intent for China. I think he has a lot of good intent for Hunter. Could you imagine if Donald Trump had a son that was as horrific as Hunter Biden was? What the media would have done? What the left media would have done? You'd never hear the end about it. But nope, everything that Hunter did just got swept away. Everything Jeffrey Epstein did just got swept away. We don't hear about Ghislaine Maxwell. We don't hear about all the atrocities that the left did because of, sending weapons of war, actual weapons of war, to the Taliban. Which, by the way, shocker, the Taliban is using those weapons to oppress its people. And it's also selling those weapons to its neighbors. So, shocker. Oh, and by the way, your $40 billion that came out of your wallet that got sent to Ukraine, yeah, those weapons that were sent there are now being sold on the black market as well. Let's move on to the next article. Let's have a really cheerful day. All right, so I think this is one of those reasons why people say that they don't trust the government. Even the mega oil companies don't at this point. It's coming from Bloomberg.com. The U.S. is depleting its strategic petroleum reserve faster than it looks. The composition of the U.S. crude cache will be the next key development for energy markets. God, I hate these people so much. All right, so the U.S. has become the world's oil barrel of last resort, single-handedly keeping prices in the energy market from exploding even higher by selling a large chunk of its strategic petroleum reserve. Washington can't use the reserve forever. It's a finite stockpile fighting a potentially unlimited flow shortage. More worryingly, the U.S. is depleting its cache a lot faster than it looks. I'm not even going to finish the article. What do you think happens, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we don't have oil and gas anymore in this country? When you don't have the ability to go to the pump. Well, let's hear a response from ExxonMobil. This is coming from the Epoch Times. The ExxonMobil Corporation fired back at President Joe Biden's letter calling on U.S. energy producers to bring near-term shortage solutions to address rising gas prices and decades-high inflation. In the short term, the U.S. government could enact measures often used in emergencies following hurricanes or other supply disruptions, such as waivers of Jones Act provisions and some fuel specifications to increase supplies. This is coming from the oil giant ExxonMobil. And in the long term, the federal government can promote investment through clear and consistent policy that supports U.S. resource development, such as regular and predictable lease sales, as well as streamlined regulatory approval and support for infrastructure, such as pipelines. Notably, Biden signed an executive order in early 2021 that suspended construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have brought oil from Alberta, Canada, to the interior United States. This move was criticized by oil industry officials, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and even the Republicans. In recent days, the president has increasingly blamed oil companies for allegedly gouging consumers as prices remain elevated at $5 per gallon. Gas prices nationwide are averaging around $5 a gallon, an economic burden for many Americans and a political threat for Biden's fellow Democrats going into the midterm elections. So, could it be that the prophets of the internet last year, I think it was in December of 2021, were saying that by July, economists are talking about that by July we'll be paying for $7 a gallon of gas. They were right. There are parts of this country right now that are paying upwards of $7 a gallon for gas, and in certain parts of California, almost $10 a gallon of gas. How long can we sustain this? You have independent truckers, and if you're an independent trucker out there, I know a couple of you guys, all right? My hat's off to you. That's a hard job. And it's a job that needs to be done. And God bless the truckers of this country, because the truckers keep this country moving and alive. 80% or maybe even more of your produce, your fuel, your chemicals, your materials, all that stuff gets moved by 18-wheelers nationwide. So who's it really hurting? Well, if you take diesel and throw it out the window, you raise it so high that independent truckers can no longer move produce, then where do we get the stuff we need to refill and restock the stores and the gas stations? Joe Biden doesn't have an answer for that. He has a solution. He has an army of men and women ready to give him solutions. But that's not what he wants. This man is hell-bent on destroying this country. It just makes me wonder. I mean, this is the same country he lives in. His family lives in. But once again, we're talking about a very wealthy family, a very corrupt wealthy family. $5 a gallon is nothing for them. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I was still in the government right now, when I was working, I was making well over six figures. $5 a gallon wouldn't have bothered me too much. I'd complain about it, but I'd be able to fill up my gas tank easy as could be. Now that I'm not in that madness no more, and I'm at an all-new low when it comes to an income. Like, God will preserve me, though. I now, like most of you, have to really consider and weigh my options. What do I invest my money in? And you know, I got hit by a series of events that just really sucked. I had to replace almost all the brakes on my truck. I had to replace the two back shocks. Gosh dang, light on the back went out, and because it's a freaking GMC Denali, the entire light has to come out. I can't replace the bulb. I typically do all this stuff myself. But, you know, with the advancements, as they say, in technology, everything costs more. And with this technology, they're making it to the point where us good old boys can't fix our stuff anymore. We have to go see a specialist. That's why, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know, you got this real nice, fancy 2017 Denali. I love the thing. It's great for the kids. But every time I drive by a 1970s, a 1980s, even the early 1990s trucks, I just start salivating. And I just start thinking of ways that I can go real quick and make money and buy one of those trucks. Because right now, I miss my 1990 Chevy Stepside. I could fix everything on that truck myself. Just like my old Corvette. I had an old 1979 Corvette Stingray when I was in the Marine Corps. First car I ever learned to really work on. I could fix everything on that car myself. I could literally just buy the parts, bolt on, bolt off. Everything was perfect. You know, not no more. Now everything's ran by a computer. Now everything falls apart. Cars aren't made the way they used to. I'll say that. My old cars that I used to drive, and I mean, we could drive them suckers to the ground, and they would keep running. Not anymore. Now everything is just meant to break, it seems. Well, you know, once again, we have to think about our survivability as a nation. Our president is trying to take care of our problems by limiting our constitutional rights by taking away our guns. That's the potentiality that we face. He's selling part of our oil reservoirs. He won't let us pump oil, but yet it's everybody else's fault except for his. All I can tell you is that if you voted for this guy and you're listening to me, please do not vote for him a second time. I hope Donald Trump runs again. I hope maybe someone like Ron DeSantis will run. I'd love to see those two guys paired up. But we deserve better in this country. We should demand better in this country. You know, we talk about equal rights that we want all the time. I think we should demand more respectful presidents. And honestly, we should demand more from our government. What has Congress done? Congress is the one who passed laws. What has Congress done to alleviate anything with the economy? They'll pass another spending bonus, and none of us will get the money. I always find that funny when they say, "Well, we're going to pass this new $1 trillion worth of spending for the government." It's not for us. You still have to pay taxes at the end of the year. And you know, I don't question why people are anti-government. I don't question why people become anti-law enforcement, because law enforcement is a enforcing branch of government. I get that. But damn, guys, give us a little bit of a break. Well, once again, I don't expect that. I don't think you expect it either. And now, this is coming to you from the Gateway Pundit. Democrats propose an outrageous 1,000% tax on manufacturers and importers of assault weapons. This article is wrote by Michael Robinson. It was wrote yesterday on the 16th. It says a group of Democrats led by Virginia Congressman Don Breyer are backing a proposed 1,000% tax on assault weapons bans. Breyer pointed to the recent mass shootings in Buffalo, Uvalde, and Tulsa while introducing the Assault Weapons Bans Excise Act to the United States House of Representatives. Once again, here we go. Another freaking anti-gun bill. Breyer then took to Twitter to express his views and purpose for the outrageous tax proposal. He noted, quote, right after he turned 18, the Uvalde shooter bought an AR-15 model rifle for $1,870. A week later, he killed 19 children and 2 teachers. Under my legislation, had that gun would cost $18,700, obviously making it significantly harder to acquire. So that's their goal here. Could you imagine firearms at your local mom and pop store, at your local mom and pop, you know, trade-in store, and you have just, you know, a regular old shotgun, a regular old 12 gauge or 20 gauge sitting on the shelf, and it's worth $10,000 or $15,000. It was a laugh. That'd be a laughing stock. And you know what? Maybe this congressman, maybe he's going somewhere, because at the rate that our economy is eventually going to crash, $18,700 will relate to $1,870. We're going to look like Rhodesia. We're not going to have an economy. And then we're not going to have a government. And we're going to be taken over. And who knows, you know, who knows what comes after that? It certainly won't be something that builds anything back better. Congress may take action to stem the flood of weapons of war into American communities, says Representative Don Breyer. Introducing the Assault Weapon Excise Act, my bill will impose a 1,000% excise tax on the manufacturer, importer, or producer of assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. It's designed to bypass the filibuster and win Senate passage with 50 votes. And you better bet that these sorry SOBs have every lawyer that they can hire skimming through every word and every punctuation and double-crossing their T's and triple-dotting their I's to make sure that there's not one hiccup, so that when it goes to the House bill, it gets approved immediately, and then it goes to the Senate bill, and Kamala Harris, the vice president, who's the president of the Senate, is the deal breaker. And she will go for this bill. But let me ask you something, men and women of America. If Congress passes this bill, which is just one of many, I can feel the fury rising inside me right now. If Congress passes this bill, how many of you who are FFL dealers are going to honor it? I think at that point in time, the silent majority should no longer be silent. Because gun ownership in America bypasses and oversees everything. Gun ownership in America is more important than Black Lives Matter. It's more important than the LGBTQRS. It's more important than almost everything that Congress is attempting to pass right now. It doesn't matter what sexual orientation you are. It doesn't matter what sex you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your religion. It doesn't matter what stance you are in life. Poverty, low income, medium income, high, the wealthy elite. Gun ownership in America puts everybody on an equal level of protection. Should you acquire a firearm legally, should you train yourself upon that firearm, which I implore you to do. And I implore everyone, conceal carry and get your license for it. But at what point in time does it hurt us to take our weapons away from us? Well, I mean, just look in history. Name me one country that has yet benefited from taking the guns away from the people. Name me one dictator who took advantage of it. You could probably rattle off several in your head if you're a student of history. Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, Hitler, maybe soon to be Biden. Hey, let's get back in this article. Here's a quote. Again and again, assault weapons designed for use on the battlefield have been used in mass shootings at schools, grocery stores, hospitals, churches, synagogues, malls, theaters, bars, and so on. As a response in Uvalde shows, even law enforcement feel outgunned. Okay. All right, jackasses. Since you had to go ahead and throw law enforcement and history into it, now I'm going to get offended. Now I'm going to say something. The gun puts everybody on an equal playing field. Tactics and training is what elevates everybody from that equal playing field. With tactics and training also comes positioning, ambushes, and intent. The Uvalde shooter had the heads up on everybody. He entered the school with the gun before a good guy could with the gun. He barricaded himself into a room. All right. Now, I have shown my discern, I think, pretty good so far about Uvalde. But let's just go ahead and play this out. If it were a real-time strategy game here, if the bad guy puts himself in a room filled with children, typically what I need to do is I need to get in that room and neutralize the threat as soon as possible. However, if you don't have the proper funding, if you don't have the proper training and funding for armor, for the proper training and getting the reps in as law enforcement officers, building up that confidence of going into that room with your buddies, with a ballistic shield, with the proper uniform on, with the proper tactical apparel, it boosts the confidence. But also, there's intent. The bad guy was already in there. He was already shooting. He was already killing. Take away the AR-15 and put it into the hands of a madman like this and let the weapon be a shotgun. I don't want to be gruesome, but if you've never seen a shotgun wound, you will prefer the AR-15. And these are children that we're talking about, all right? Take away all the rifles. Let every bad guy get their hands on a shotgun. Just wait till we have shotgun battles. I don't want a part of that. I'd rather be sitting 300 meters away or 200 meters away with my rifle. But once again, intent. Did the officers go in? It seems like the story keeps changing at this point in time. I don't feel it's relevant to continuously harp on the officers because they have to live with what they did or didn't do. And that chief will have to live with what he did or didn't do. There are plenty of people, I'm sure, within the comment sections that will talk as bad about these cops as possible. And you know, that's, once again, it's the problem with being a cop. You loved me one day, you hated me the next day. Had the teachers been armed What could the outcome have been? Why aren't the parents as pissed off about the teachers not wanting to be armed to protect the kids? We have so many questions and so many answers that a lot of us don't feel like we should be questioning these answers. And I'll just say it like this. How many people are going to stand in front of the parents of a slain child to a madman and say, why didn't you tell X, Y, and Z to do better? You really want to deal with those parents and interrupt their grieving? I don't. But as a society, we do have answers. We do have reliable resources that are out there that could have been put in place, but nobody did. Mainly because the leftists run the schools. The leftists don't want guns in schools. They don't want cops in schools. They don't want metal detectors for the kids coming in and out. Just wait till the next bomb goes off in a school. Then what? Ban all the bombs? These weapons of war that these people talk about, don't forget, originally weapons of war were rocks, clubs, sharpened sticks turned to spears, arrows, crude axes, swords, and then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. The gun is nothing but a tool. It is the intent of the person using it. Not everybody is brave and not everybody is a madman. Tragedies will occur. But should we tear down one of the pillars of our society over it? When is the next congressman going to put forth a bill in the House that says it's about time that we stop these mass murdering lunatics at McDonald's and Taco Bell and Dairy Queen? Or pick your poison, Burger King. Because they kill more people a year than all these other estimates put in combined through diabetes, cardiac arrest, cancer. But they're untouchable. Big Pharma. How many people a year die from drugs? Big Pharma's not responsible. You can't even sue Big Pharma. What about the amount of people that die a year just in hospitals? They don't want to talk about that one. I know plenty of nurses and doctors who have told me about that. And it didn't really come up until COVID started. Hey, once again, how many people died because of malpractice during COVID? They want to come after the guns for the most simplest of reasons as to why every tyrant wanted to disarm their populace so that nobody would rise up against them, so that you would not get a knight in shining armor that was banding the people together to overthrow the cruel king, the cruel monarch. These people, they want to subjugate you. They need absolute power over you. They'll take away your car. They're going to take away your guns. And then what? The cutlery? They'll take away our knives. Yeah, if they were this serious about this, then they would probably tell Amazon and Walmart and all these other big companies and all their lobbyists to no longer sell weapons of war like machetes and axes and swords. I mean, these were weapons of war that were used for thousands of years. Just wait take away the guns and we're going to bring back the medieval times. And you'll be dueling out in the streets against your neighbor. But they won't take their guns away. Nope. Their bodyguards will have their guns. The police will always have theirs, and so will the military. They will not lay down their arms. If there was ever an attack against the Constitution of the United States, it happens when congressmen and senators put forth bills to take away your Second Amendment. Just listen to the blatant, disrespectful audacity that this guy has. My bill will impose a 1,000% excise tax on the manufacturer, importer, or producer of assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. High-capacity magazines. What is that? Anything 5 rounds or higher? 10 rounds or higher? 15 rounds or higher? Because law enforcement and military will carry 15 rounds in their pistols, and they'll carry 30 rounds in their magazines. Their shotguns typically will have 5 to 6 rounds in them. So what is a high-capacity magazine? Are we branding this as rules for thee, but not for me? And he says it's designed to bypass the filibuster and win Senate passage with 50 votes. Do you know what that means? That means he has put forth a bill that is guaranteed by the language wrote into it to pass and become law. All I can say is if it gets passed, it's time to get on the streets and it's time to protest. Maybe it's time for the silent majority to not be silent anymore, but they'll be waiting on it. So that's where we have to be very careful with what we do, because they will be waiting for us to do this. I promise you, I know better. Here. Let's get into this next article. Conservativebrief.com. It's wrote by Martin Walsh. Republican drops clue about Supreme Court's Roe versus Wade leaker. This will become the next riot point. This will become the next flashpoint where they will riot over. The U.S. Supreme Court officials are ramping up their search for the source of the leaked draft opinion that would overturn Roe versus Wade. And one Republican thinks he has had an idea of who the leaker might be. In an interview with Newsmax, Montana GOP Representative Matt Rosendale said he was certain at least some of the justices know the leaker's identity, saying he thinks they should come forward if they do. Quote, "We all could probably agree that the justices that were appointed by Democrats, by Democrat presidents, know who the leaker was. What bothers me, it's not only the undermining that it did of the institution and the trust factor that these folks have with each other. It's that now the trust is broken. It's very difficult to restore. There could be more people involved, and those people could all go all the way to the top. Don't eliminate the judges because you know people. So there's no way that would happen. No way. Think about it. Michael Sussman is on trial right now for Russiagate. That happened 6 years ago. We're only getting answers right now. I hope it doesn't take another 6 years to get answers to what happened at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will soon deliver the official ruling on Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. the highly anticipated abortion case that could overrule Roe versus Wade. A draft majority opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito was leaked to Politico in early May, and it set off a firestorm on social media. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start, writes Alito. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. It's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. We therefore hold the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. So the Constitution is what they're saying does not have the does not confer right now for you to have the ability to have a right to abortion. Roe and Casey must be overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion must be returned to the people and their elected representatives. 100% agree. Soon after Alito's draft majority opinion leaked, it's assumed that there was at least 5 votes in favor of overturning Roe v. Wade, leaving state legislators to weigh their own abortion policies. However, the investigation has not identified any suspects, and the court's integrity is growing weaker by the day. One source told the outlet that the place sounds like it's imploding. Another said, I don't know how on earth the court is going to finish up its work this term. The nation's highest court has taken a slew of actions since the leak, including requiring law clerks to provide cell phone records and sign affidavits. Well, I'd like to read you a couple of flyers that have already been going out because of Roe v. Wade. This is what we have to look forward to. And who wants to bet Roe v. Wade will be decided right before the midterms or right after? And most likely the Republicans will win the midterms. But probably it'll happen right before or right after. All right, so this is something that one of my viewers sent me. Thank you very much, Sister Sherry, for sending this. DC call to action. This is a flyer. And this is very reminiscent of the type of stuff that we would see with Antifa all the time. It says DC call to action. A call to action means that, and this is typically something that Antifa does, this is where they want to bring forth the army of rioters, and this is more or less inviting anybody to mayhem. Typically, with call to actions, what they do is they bring all their equipment with them. They'll bring bands, and they'll bring drums, they'll bring speakers, and they'll bring Molotov cocktails, and all different types of melee weapons, and all their hoopla gear, their gas mask, and their helmets, and their trash can shields. That's these people. All right, so let's get back into this. I'm reminiscing of Antifa in Portland. The night of SCOTUS overturns Roe versus Wade hit the streets in bold capital letters. And right underneath it, it says, "You said you'd riot." Quote, "To our oppressors, if abortions aren't safe, you're not either. Jane's Revenge." So, that's very nice when we have children who are out there threatening to rampage. And, you know, I'll have a call to action for you. I think of just one time, we let all these idiots show up, and then all the men come out, and we stand in one unified line in between them and law enforcement and their destruction, their path of destruction, and we just don't allow it to happen. however that entails, however that ends, whatever consequences there are. But if they come with violence against our Constitution, that means that they are becoming an enemy of our Constitution. That does not, at that point, give them the protection under the Constitution of the First Amendment to riot. If they want to come out and speak out against it, that's their constitutional right. But the moment the first marble is launched from a slingshot, the first Molotov cocktail is even lit, you should be unleashing the dogs of war. Enough is enough. I'm tired of this. I seriously am. I did 4 years straight of dealing with children that did not have parents, apparently, in their lives. Or if they did, the parents were typically approving of this. And they let their children, who were joined by plenty of adults and young adults, rampage across our cities, across our country, terrorizing Americans. Enough is enough of that. And, you know, this is just me, but I think we're at the point in time, my brothers and sisters of blue, that if a million man army does show up in D.C. and they want to destroy the pillars of our Constitution, and they are met by a actual million man army who decides it's no longer playtime, don't interfere. Just let it happen. Let that melee happen, because law enforcement is not doing their job, apparently. Or we're not scary enough anymore. Legislation won't do anything. The lawyers won't do anything. The prosecutors, I mean, come on, guys. At one point in time, they were prosecuting us when we would be using force against felons who were trying to burn down cities. Enough is enough of that. Here's one more flyer that was found. We'll read this one more time before I let you go for the day. Forced birthers, come to our town. We'll lock you in a church and burn the effer down. And it's the picture of what appears to be a cathedral and a person holding a Molotov cocktail with a lighter underneath the rag. Hey guys, do you take that as a threat? How about as an intent of a threat? An intent for maybe arsonry? Intent for, you know, let's go ahead and just say maybe premeditated murder? But no, FBI, you're not going to take that as a threat. Not seriously. You'll wait for the, quote, white supremacists to show up. These people, by not acting on the intelligence that they have, by not arresting the people they should be, by not prosecuting the people that they should be, are going to cause a vigilante response from the public. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm quite sure it's going to be bloody. That's not what I want. I don't think that's what you want. But what point do we just say, if the executive branch and legislative branch are not going to do their jobs, it's time for we the people to do it for them? I don't know. One thing I would love to see, and this is just my personal opinion, I would love to see this. If these groups start showing up everywhere, I give 100% full support to anyone who does this. Sheriffs, written as one of the supreme laws of the land of law enforcement, drag you and your posses to D.C. to wherever you have to, and just start making arrests. Bring as many zip ties as you need. Leave them on the ground. I don't care. Let the locals do something with them. But something has to be done. What we have now is we have a generation of law enforcement who has been trained, scared to death by politicians and by mainstream media and by the court of public opinion not to do their job. And the moment a phone comes out, they freeze up. And then the moment one of these groups show up and they're loud and they're shouting and they're chanting, oh, well, it's their right to do this. But yet their right becomes more violent and it becomes more physical and becomes more in your face. And eventually the first time you get hit in the face with a brick, or like me, the frozen water bottle, all you see is red. And now it's time to go do our jobs. But we keep allowing it to happen, guys. Law enforcement, put the fear back into the wicked. Do your jobs. Ladies and gentlemen, please continue to prepare. Train, prep, and pray. Get off your excuse. Go for a walk. Go for a run. Get into the gym. Go to the BJJ studio. Get some grappling in. Get out on the range. Shoot your primary and secondary weapon systems. Make sure that your tactical gear is still good. It's still useful. It still fits. If you're like me and you're getting older and you're kind of fit and kind of fat, some of your stuff doesn't fit so well anymore. So make sure that you're staying healthy. Get yourself off of all those horrible pharmaceuticals. Get a healthy lifestyle. Eat healthy. Be healthy. Pray for discernment of what to do when prophecy hits the fan. Make sure you prepare accordingly. Keep that conduit open with God. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out of here. Oh, and enjoy your weekend. That's an order. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.